Blog Talk Radio.
Church and Harvest Live Studios here in the city of Dallas. We're about to get ready and get started here. Tuesday night testimony that the man of God is going to be with us on this afternoon, Elder Terry Williams. I'm excited about this. We're going to make sure we lower the music here a little bit. We want to get moving here right into the program. We're about 7:03. We're going to start at about 7:05 here in just a moment. We're going to get the man of God who's already online with us from calling to what we see in the studio. But those of you who are coming into the show, we have now.
Sir.
Amen. God bless you, man. I'm not gonna hold up the time any longer. I know there's a word you got to bring forth the kingdom of God. So I'm gonna step back and let you have your way, and let God go ahead and move through you. And we have no other choice but to offer. I introduce you the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, out of Saginaw, Michigan. Kerry Williams Ministry, Elder.
Amen. God bless you, sir. And tonight we want to welcome you to Testimony Tuesday, man. Again, this is Kerry Williams out of Saginaw, Michigan. And I seem to be having a bad connection right now, but however, we apologize for that, but we praise and thank God for being here tonight, and we rebuke the devil, amen, because God's word is always going to stand and go forth, amen. So with that being said, I want to first give thanks to Pastor Charles Ellis out of Harvest Life Ministries in Dallas, Texas, for this broadcast, and also want to welcome my family from Greater Ephesians, who got in Christ, located in Vashon, Michigan. Tonight we welcome you to the broadcast, and we thank you and we love you for your participation, as well as everyone else that's in attendance tonight. We're going to go ahead tonight and talk to you very briefly about the word that God gave me a while back. And I must also give a shout-out and acknowledgement to Pastor Robert Williams, and Rob out of Southfield, Michigan. He was a lot of the inspiration for this particular message. And, my brother in the gospel is a very busy man. We are part of a ministry that he founded called Stop, Drop, and Pray. And those of you that are here tonight, we love you and we know who you are. But we're going to talk tonight about what you need in the wilderness. What you need while you're in the wilderness. Amen. And it stands that serious, and in particular, in my case, a long wilderness experience. But how many know that you can be in the will of God. You can be walking in the will of God and still be in the midst of a wilderness experience. We must understand that God allows us to go through our experiences, all of the adversity, all of the trials and tribulations and tough times, the big long wilderness experience, not because it benefits him, amen, but because it benefits us. Because at the end of the day, especially those of us of the household of faith and anyone that's daring to call on the name of the Lord, the Bible says whoever shall call on the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. We've got to understand that that encompasses many things. It's because at the end of the day, God is your only one and true source. Amen. It's not the fancy job that you might have at Dow Chemical. It's not General Motors. It's not the plant at Ford. It's not any of those things. But your true source, your true one and only source is God. Amen. But there are some things that we all need to be equipped with. While we're going through wilderness, God provides everything that we need. He provided you with life. He provided you with sustenance. Amen. But there are some things that we need to look to acquire for ourselves if we're going to actually be able to hold on to God through the wilderness things, the wilderness time, excuse me. I want to encourage everyone tonight. I want to let you know, first of all, as we see all of this many of you are playing our battle around us in our daily walk and our lives, Jesus told us not to be afraid, not to be dismayed. He said, for all of these things are going to happen, but the end is not yet. We see, seems like the culture alone, even in this country, has just gone totally mad and evil. You know, the United States has been progressively on a downward slide since the day they decided to start things against the move of God, such as taking prayer out of school, you know, such as banning the Lord's Prayer in public places and the like. And now we digress to the point where all of this legalized perversion is at the forefront of everything our land. People are angry, are upset. You know, racism is made a resurgence. It's no longer hitting in the background with the murder of certain people in this country. Racism is coming more open. It's always been systematic and it's always been there. But the Bible says that these are the things that are in the hearts of men that are evil, amen. But what I need for you to understand tonight is that while you're going through your wilderness experience, it can be health, it can be relationship problems, it can be a problem in your marriage, problem with your finances. It does not matter, beloved, because God is still yet with you. One of the great examples that we have that is to look at the example set by the nation of Israel. You know, and as a matter of fact, those of us that are in the church, those of us that are professing to walk in God's will, last week we preached the message based on Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. Those of you that have been crucified with Christ and risen again in his life, you understand that and you leave it for anyone else. But in the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers, the book of Deuteronomy, God had delivered Israel, the Bible says, by a strong and mighty hand. 400 years of bondage, 400 years of slavery at the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. And he led them through the wilderness to take them on to the promised land. Saints, as long as you're breathing air right now and you're walking around the ground, whether you even realize it or not, you're going through a wilderness journey. The Bible says that we are in the world, but not of the world. We're strangers in a foreign land. So we've got to understand that in order to make out of this world alive, amen, we've got to hold on to every principle, everything that God has provided us with. And I'm just going to give you a list of five different things that God provided, even by example, just for the children of Israel through that 40-year trip through the wilderness. See, as we go through it ourselves, we must understand that no matter what situation is, no matter what's particularly going on to this wilderness experience, you know, where a lot of us are suffering the bereavement, the loss of loved ones, whatever it may be, God is still greater than all of it. God is still holding your hand constantly by your side. The first thing that you need to endure through the wilderness is direction. Allow God to lead you not into your own understanding. All our ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Listen, saints, I'm a witness that there are times when things happen to us, but that's one of the hardest things to do, is decide that we're not going to give in and take matters into our own hands. But if you believe God, if you trust God, if you can crucify Christ, you also know and understand that your direction is led by feeling. Your direction is led by emotion. How many know that your feelings and your emotions will lie to you? They will deceive you. See, without direction, particularly without God's direction, we end up doing just like Jesus doing, which was going in circles for 40 years. God allowed them to go in circles for 40 years because they took the faith and the eyes off of him. All along the journey, when he took him up, God performed all these miracles and wonders. Now, how many know, just think about what would have happened or how the attitude would have been if, in fact, God had performed the miracles and to get them freed from Pharaoh. But Pharaoh just decided one day to turn them loose himself. God would have never gotten any glory, and Pharaoh would have gotten all the glory. This is why I think Pastor Rob pointed this out to me again. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh because he needed for his people to see his hand, his work in his area of life. So we need God's direction. Now, in seeking God's direction, you have to put yourself in position to receive God's direction. Let me tell y'all something. In this day and age, it's very popular and very easy for people nowadays to go to church. People are being deceived, and it grieves my heart to see people going in and out of church every week. And many of them walking in this self-deception, they think that because they get up and they look good and they go to church on Sunday morning somewhere, and they allow someone to appeal to their emotions and their senses, or they go to church and they get up and they perform a church function, they think that they're serving God. Beloved, there is a tremendous difference between church work and working in the church. Anybody can go work in the church. But when it comes to real church work, it takes a humble spirit. It takes an agape love for God because everything's not going to go right on the ministry. It's not looking good. It's not looking the part. The ministry is not going somewhere and sitting up inside four walls and serving yourself. See, a lot of us have a twist in this. Things so very easy. It's not just enough. It's just $1,000 below it to be just be in the church. The church has literally been me. Amen. The word of God says that God is the spirit. That it works among most of his spirit and in truth. Now, knowing that God is the spirit, we believe in the spirit and truth. How many know that God's real church, God's thought out ecclesia, the body of Christ, God's spiritual Israel, is not contained in a building? It is spirit also. See, God is not some plausible entity that you can put your hands on. And when God created you, he created you in his image and his likeness. I mean, he created you as we call it, a tripart being, a people being. And he is a spirit. He has a body. And he lives in a house of flesh. The body passes away. The soul is going to pass away. But that spirit is going to live on forever. And this is what God needs us to really know that we're transformed. So these tools will help us in our spiritual walk because these days you may see any and everything out of flesh. As a matter of fact, people like to quote now the days that Timothy talked about. We know that in the last days, men, perilous times to come. We're living in those times. But how many know that the day of the Lord is soon to come upon us? As we go through this wilderness journey, the first direction, God's the only one that can provide it for us. The Bible says that a carnal man cannot receive or understand the things of God, they are foolishness to him. So this is why Paul encouraged us to walk in the Spirit so that we would reap of the Spirit of an active life. Because those that walk in the flesh, the flesh will reap of the flesh corruption. Okay. The second thing that we need, and trying to be sharp, is real short. Second thing that we need while we're going to be put is food. God provided the children of Israel manna from his very hand. The Bible says that the manna was provided from on high. It had enough to eat, it could meet their needs. He commanded them not to take more than they needed, not to try and store any, but to take what they needed to eat that day, that time, and allow him to deal with the rest. We have to make sure that we spending our time feeding our spirits from the Word of God. The world around you right now, God is something, and that the Word of God is alive. In fact, there's the moves. If you check your history, there's been many moves by men to actually try and have the Bible rewritten to suit their needs. I remember one time, maybe about 20 years ago, a movement by people that were gay and lesbian who wanted to really have the Bible rewritten to include language that was fitting them. But how many know without direction, without the proper nourishment of God's food, many people can fall for that. And I'm sorry. I love everyone. The Bible teaches us to love the Christian. But when it comes to God's word, when it comes to your food, Jesus said that man cannot live by bread alone, somebody, every word that comes out of me is God. So when it comes to this word, the word tells us plainly that homosexuality is a sin. And please don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to pass this on. I'm giving you examples. I didn't write the word of God. I'm only endeavoring to teach it, preach it, and live by it, amen? But we need food. And God has already provided that food for us. So we've got to understand that we have to eat the word of God every single day. It's the most important thing. The third thing, a familiar talk, let me give you a scripture on that. Psalm 37:25, it says, I was young and now I am old. I've never seen the seed of the righteous beg for bread. I've never seen the righteous take no seed beg for bread. The third thing we need is water. Now, in our human bodies, in our your body can live for a certain amount of time with physical food. You may live for a matter of weeks without physical food. But water is representative of God's spirit. You can't live without water anymore than a few days. And God knows every need. God has already provided your every need. In the midst of the wilderness, while they were yet complaining, God provided water for the Israelites out of the rock. Now, this is after they've already rebelled against them just because of their unbelief. They've already rebelled against the leadership. They've already begun to reject him. But without Jesus said, whoever drinks the water that I give, he shall never thirst again. He said he's living water. I don't care how rich you think, I don't care how great you think you can't live without water. Israel enjoyed all of these provisions, even while they were going through 40 years in wilderness. And it's the same thing with us. Ask yourself, what have you really lacked in your tough time? Because I'm a witness tonight, even on your worst, God has still been good to you. We've got to understand and recognize the time. And part of growing up spiritually is recognizing God's hand in your life, recognizing God's will being played out for your good. Romans 10:20 say, we know that all things work for good, them who love them, those that are called according to God, those that love God, excuse me. And all I'm trying to get you to see tonight is that no matter how bad it may look, no matter how it may feel, we've got to hold on to God because it's going to get worse before it gets better. Amen. Even in the midst of all of that, one of the last things that Israel enjoyed from God, which leads me to my next point, they enjoyed divine health. God made sure that that journey, Bible says there was none feeble. Now today we experience all manner of things because of the attack of the enemy. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, as long as God has provided life in your body, he's providing you the ability to breathe this dirty air and to walk on this dirty earth. Along with that, he's still giving you the ability to stand on faith and to praise him to lift your hands and your voice and give God praise. The Bible says that He inhabits from His people. See, God knows it. God knows His people. He needs you to know that you are His own. He needs you to know that you love and appreciate Him, that you are with Him, in spite of seeing everything that can come to you. I love the way my big brother Joe put it. He said, I know my Redeemer. And then he went on to say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. So this day and age, it's too easy to get caught between man's inspiration and God's inspiration. Because, see, God's inspiration walks hand in hand with God's living. I heard it said sometime ago, a lot of what's called gospel is really nothing more than just inspiration. And he's talking about man's inspiration that appeals to your senses, to your flesh. You read some about that, just taking all detail. There is a struggle over your soul right now between the enemy and God. And mankind is right in the middle of that tug of war. Mankind would have us to believe that the word of God again is some place and it's a bunch of lies. God testifies the word. So, matter of fact, you know another from your scripture. 2 Timothy 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or mature, fairly equipped for every work. He goes on, he's given Timothy a charge, he goes on to tell him to preach the same word. He gives a testimony how he had been abandoned, but the word always kept him strong and he stood in the word. Again, you've got to understand, I'm going to read something to you really quick. And it's talking about inspiration of the Bible. God doesn't give us anything. He's not willing to back up. If He gives you to prove His word, He expects you to do that because He needs you to know who He is. He needs you to know that He's got your back. He needs you to know that you can come to Him no matter what. He needs you to know He's got everything that you need. The word inspiration talks about the absolute authority of the Bible over our lives, but it is based in our conviction that the book of the Bible does not merely contain the Word of God, but that it is the Word of God. See, the word inspiration translation, Yah Numos, that means that God breathed or God inspired. This word is alive. It's living. That's the sixth thing about it, it's living. God is alive. God's not dead. The Saints take songs, God's not dead, He's yet alive. God has never been, never has been, never will be missed. And we've got to understand that this day and age, as the plan of God unravels and unfolds around us, Jesus said it would come to this time. He said in the time that we're living in right now, said that this day was going to return. It was as if it was in the day of Noah. The thing that got me the most is He told us that in these times, the love of many was going to wax. And if it were even possible that the very effect of God would be seen in giving up their salvation. Beloved, don't be dismayed, don't be afraid. Now is the time to turn up your face. Now is the time to reach for God like the last breath, because everything that's going on around you, this long wilderness journey that you're going through, is all the word of God floating around us. But I guarantee God is right there in the middle. If you can just hold on. That's why the Bible encourages us to be strong in the Lord and the power of His name, and to grow in the knowledge and admonition of the Lord, because the only thing that's going to keep us now, the old folks where I come from, I think they would say this. They say you can make your mouth say anything. But see, when you place the word of God literally in your heart, and your mouth speaks the word of God, you're speaking life. You're speaking dominion. You're speaking power. You're speaking victory. You're speaking love. And this is where we got to operate now. We have to make sure that the church of God, God's spiritual Israel inside of us, it's going to show, it's going to manifest itself, it's going to prove itself, because in this day and age, when you see everything except God's love walking around you, like the old saying says, if you got God's love in you by way of the word and God's spirit, you may be the only Jesus that they see. And when it's all said and done, the only thing that's going to be standing is the word of God, and the word of God is alive in you. It's time out for play. And we're going to be getting on several things. I don't mean to take up too much of my time. I'm not trying to be all over the place. But I just want to encourage them tonight. My heart is encouraged. And I pray that yours is too. Because now is time to stand up and show God's church. Now is the time to stand up and not just hear the word, not just talk the word, but be the word and do the word. And we always want to encourage someone else and show love. Because, beloved, guess what? Somebody did it for you. Somebody's yet doing that for you. So while you're going through this wilderness journey, look for every provision that God has. He's giving you direction. He's giving you food. He's giving you water. He's giving you divine health. And the last thing he's giving you is his very presence. As God gave to Moses, and he also gave them his very presence in the tabernacle. We need to meet with God regularly and spend time with him. Jesus said, whoever sends me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father in heaven. He said to come to your Father and speak, and he will reward you and bless you. Yeah, today is a very popular thing for building large churches that somehow end up seeming like the Bible does command us to come together to assemble ourselves. But again, that's where we come together to receive from him and to strengthen and encourage one another. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. How many know your real living is done outside of those church walls? Love ain't love till you give it away. And if you're spending your place all at one time with the same group of people and y'all love one another, that's not spreading the love of God. The Bible says that we are the salt of the earth. Wherever we go, we spread the love of God's love. We can't do it if we're spending all that time wasting on ourselves, on our flesh. Amen. So even when you're going through the midst of the wilderness, when you're loneliest, God is there with you. I am a witness. I will get into my testimony at a later date. But we've got to understand that it's not about us. especially in this day and age. It's all about God bless you. Back in your hands, Frankly. We're ready for questions and comments.
Amen, Elder Carey. God bless you for being a part of the show. For those of you who are calling into the line on tonight, just want to follow up on the questions and answers that, about the Word This Man of God has just brought before. I want to let you know, Elder Carey, we're kind of catching some static on the line. I don't know if it's the position you're in or whatever it may be, but we're catching some feedback in where y'all want to let you know that. But for those who want to call into the show, there's a number you can call into, and it's going to be 516-387-1220. Now, when you actually dial that number, you can push the number one button on your actually keyboard, or on the actual wherever you are, whether it be iPads, Androids, whatever you may be on. Hit that keyboard number one. It'll light you up in the studio, and that way the narrator or the operator will get you into the question series that you can answer Elder Carey on what he talked about on tonight. And as always, we want to thank the man of God for being a part of the show on tonight. But as I said, the number once again is 516. That's 387-1220. Any questions for Elder Carey Williams at Carey Williams Ministry, you can do that by actually pushing the number one button on your actual telephone. That'll bring you right into the show. As always, you know, I'm going to get my question in all the time. You know, you talked about the process of how, you know, we as men, men and women of God, and how, you know, you constantly brought them in and out and trying to show them, you know, that they've been already given dominion, the power, the authority, to rule, the reign, to convict and arrest, to shut down everything that's not according to what God's word says. But I believe when you're speaking in that, it kind of caught to my mind, Elder. We talk about when we have been men and women of God, when we come up and we accept Christ in church, sometimes we don't really understand our position. And looking at our position is what God created us to be before he founded us into the earth. Not man, what he gave us to do, but God positions us to Jeremiah 1 and 5. And sometimes we look at our situation rather than looking at our position. And just to kind of break that into you, to get for those who are kind of just a little off in terms of what I'm speaking about, because I come at you at a different angle. And when you, I use sports a lot, jobs, positions, whatever you're in. When you know your position, you know what the rules that go along with that position in order to sustain that position. But when God called you into position, he's not allowing you to look at your situation. Situations is always going to be there, but you got to know your position. For an athlete, for a CEO, for corporate office, preacher, pastor, whatever it is, whatever God designed you to be, he engineered you to be, you got to know your position. Situations going to always be in the midst of where you are. They're going to never go away. That's what we fight, the good fight of faith. So in the area when you were talking about the process, even when they was over in Israel, he constantly fed them with manna, showing the process of how they, what their position was going to be. Their position was given to them to be able to subdue the land, to go into the promise. That was their position. That was their authoritative call. Nothing was going to be standing before them. But as you talk about in the body of Christ, what is it that we've said? I think you talked about a little bit last week. What is it that we're missing at in terms of us knowing our position and not our situation? When we open our mouth, we confess the word of God, we declare and decree that, you know, he said, where is the word that's in your mouth? What is it that we don't know about our position? As a player, you got to know your position and not whether than your situation. Where are we lacking on that? Go ahead.
Well, quite honestly, Pastor, that's a great question. And quite honestly, in this day and age, I believe we miss our position because a lot of times we're too busy looking at what other people do instead of actively searching and waiting to find out what God wants to do for us. That's why fivefold ministry is so important. God does everything decent in order. He has a structure in place. And just like those children of Israel, when he gave them out of Israel, when God gave Moses pattern for the tabernacle, when God gave Moses the plans for worship and for sacrifice, he laid it all out for them step by step. He called every tribe, he gave everyone a responsibility. And in this day and age, it's as simple as spending enough time of God to find out your position in your particular family. The Bible says that we're all called to be a nation of ministers and priests. But we have to invest enough of our time in building up our own faith because of nothing else, we receive the confidence to even go to God and find out what it is He would have us to do. Like, I've always loved certain sports. I've always loved basketball, football, I've loved baseball. I always wanted to be like many other people. I wanted to be the next Michael Jordan. But that was what I wanted. God wanted me to do something else. Most namely, God wanted me to walk in His word and see if it worked. So I had to come to realization that I had to slow down. I had to give up my aspirations, and I had to seek what God would have for me so that God put me in a position that He created me to be in. And that is the same thing with all. Yes, sir.
So our situation, well, let me rephrase it. Because I'll make sure, you know, for all, you know, the callers are really good to understand what we're saying here, you know,
yes,
in terms
sir.
Of our situation and position. Now, that's two totally different things. If y'all heard the man of God say, he said the situation and he said position. Position gives you what you call supremacy. Now, let me, when they say supremacy, that's total authority, infinity. Amen, over everything. The word declares that in 1 and 26. So, when we actually been, when we have been born, now I want to make sure I get the elder correct here. Now, if he said anything, he's going to, you know, pull in on what I'm saying. And I will make sure we get the right. When he said that God has positioned us, despite of our situations, despite of what we see in front of us, I think, if I'm mistaken, I think Hebrews, I think it's 12, I think it's 12 and 2 says that, you know, the author and the finisher, you know, He gave us the ability to understand that He came here on earth to demonstrate to us what that power is. So when we confess words with our mouth, it's not just we speak in anything. We speak in what we call dominion. We speak in supremacy. We're speaking the authority that identifies us as being supremacy over all the earth. That nothing has the power to be able to overcome us because it was given to us. If I'm in there with the identification of Genesis 1 and 26.
Right.
He gave us dominion over the fish, over the sea. Now, look how He said that. Over the birds, over the air, over the cattle, over the earth. Every creeping thing. This was already given to us about what comes out of our mouth. Now, it not just because we speak it, it was already given to us. Mama, I want a cookie, if I can throw that in there. But you can't get it until you go to the herd, baby, get it from her. In other words, you got to ask the right person. It's there for you to get him, but you can't get it. In other words, it's already there for you. Dominion, supremacy, authority, identification declares that whatever you have on earth has already been given onto you.
That's right.
Go to your Father in secret. Close
Amen.
The door. Pray Him in secret. God said He revealed to you openly. Now, and I heard the elder. Now, it touched me when he said about the process of the Egyptians. Now, the only way. And you help me here, Elder, because I'm listening to you now. The only way they was able to come out of where they were, they had to have the right mindset. They had to all be on one accord. In other words, they couldn't go into a promise with what you call an Egypt mentality. And you said that we can't be playing with this. This what I do here, and it's what Elder does, what Reverend Rob does. This is not about a game of popularity, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just trying to get you to understand. It's about how many people can come on the phone calls, and I'm not speaking negative or anything. I believe the man of God can. I mean, I'm not saying it negative. I want y'all to understand. I believe He can care less whether you called in or not. Not that He's putting it away, but He's trying to get you to see something more than what you can see. Now we got a call that's lighting up here at an 810 number. And it's going to be a 414 area code, and I'm going to bring them in as I continue to finish this question out that I'm can. We also got 987 coming in. We're going to get to you at 220. Just hold on just a second. We're going to hit this 910 441 here in a minute. But in the process, when we look at the process of identification, God already gave it you and guaranteed you jurisdiction over the very process when He gave you. When we can't understand that when we speak the word of Romans 10:8-9, we speak in authority, not by popularity, not by title, not position, but as being servants. Can I get a servant? That's what the word of God is saying. Somebody in the earth who can reveal and declare to a dying race of people whom which I created. And this is what God is really speaking in the season that we're in right now. No matter how many radio stations I'm going to have, how many churches I'm going to have, it's not about me. It's about the work that he put in me. And if he put in me, then he said a work in me is great. And then if the work is great in me, he takes me back to the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews said, I showed Charles Ellis how this is supposed to be done. I showed him how to authorize this. I showed him how to have dominion over this. I showed him how to have authority over this. And everything is there for him for my asking. 810-441. Come on in. We got you in here. Go on, come into the studio. That's area code 810-441. Don't want to say the rest of your prefix because that's against, you know, my regulations. Can't give that out to you. So area code 810-441. You're on the air.
Hello. My name is Sandra.
Yeah, amen. Sandra, God bless you.
God bless you. I'm a supporter from Kerry Williams. And I feel like my purpose now is to become more knowing the Bible and reading the Bible. And I feel like that's my purpose right now, is to kind of know where I'm going and able to have that metal, that reading, that scripture that I know. So when I come across people, that I'm able to have the knowledge to speak. That's the way I feel. That's where I'm going right now. I've always been up in the church. I've always been raised in the church. And now I'm learning. And I feel like that's my purpose right now.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Will. Amen. Sister Sandra is a very great lady of God. Her and her husband, Quentin, I love the whole thing. We are developing and growing in a great house of tremendous. And Sister Weathers, all I want to do, Sandra, I just want to encourage you. I wanted to back up a little bit about as far as what Pastor talked about position. And Pastor Ellis hit the head right off the mark. The Bible says that God gave us dominion. And the Bible's first command, he told Adam, was to subdue the earth and to dress and keep and have dominion over everything. And so as it stands, the more that you grow in this word, no matter where you're at in your walk, no matter where you're at in your dominion, understand that God has given dominion over everything around you. God has given dominion over the enemy and over the demon. And so the more you go, the more you grow in faith, and the more your walk becomes stronger. And the so if you are able to operate in the position of God, and I love the way Pastor Ellis put it, because the Bible lets us know that God created man just a little bit lower than the
expert. Amen, just a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit lower than the angel.
That's a lot saying. That's a lot.
With a crown and glory and achievement of his, in that he created us after his own image and likeness. And what topped it all off, when God inspired us, when God breathed the breath of life in us and he inspired us, the Bible says the man became a living being, a living soul.
Amen.
And that's what gives us, that's what sets us in our position of authority. All right, Brother Charles.
Amen. We got another caller coming on here. It's coming out of, we want to make sure we get the narrators on top of what they're doing here in the back over there. They're in order, but they're out of order. But in the process of them getting that another caller in, it's going to be a 989 or 220 number. We're going to bring you here in just a minute just hold on there, 989-220. When she said her job is to know the Bible. Now, coming under, now this comes under a man of authority. A man that has a legal jurisdiction on what God has called him to do. This is the only way he can operate in what God has called him to do. Just being thrown out there, you can't do it. And so many times you can quote the scriptures of so much. That's one of the things we have in the body of Christ. We have too many people quoting scriptures. That's really a big thing that we have in the body of Christ right now. That too many people have the name, but they can say the name. But in what elder in what the woman of God was saying, I think if it's good for us to let her really kind of give a little more structure on 2 Timothy 3:16 about when she said that, it popped right in the spirit right there. She's going to study the word, and then I think that's something she really needed to get into. And I mean, she needed to check every commentary and get a total breakdown of what she just said. I mean, everything that actually goes to 2 Timothy 3:16, she need to run that thing from Greek to everything and get a real good solid understanding how important it is as being an evangelist in the season where she's in. Because the Bible said men of God are perishing before the lack of. It's going to be the information that's going to get the very harvest that's out there that's starving. It's not a popularity run. So she really said something there. I don't know if anybody caught that, but she really did say something very superior there. And we're going to bring in 989-220 for Elder Carey here at Elder Carey Ministries here on Blog Talk Internet Radio Program. So you're on the air, 989-220. We can't give you a last prefix, but 989-220, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Tara Bernheim. I know Carey will. I need help reading more Bible, and I'm the usher at the church. Need a job to roll here too, please.
Amen. Hallelujah. She's speaking with boldness too.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
There's another great young lady. She's going. She's hungry for the word. She's another one of the people that Sister Sandra.
Hello. Hi, Carey William.
Bye, bye, Carey. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Okay.
I wanted to point something out real good. When we go back to what you were talking about, searching those topical references and everything, that points to the power and the meaning of the Word of God as it relates to us. There's something here that I'm a book that I took out not too long ago. And it says, there's 3 points. It says, first, the Word of God, the Word is Spirit. Again, it's translated from the Greek, theopneustos, which means inspiration of God. It means God breathed. And it describes literally the very source of the word. God is the source. The Bible says that the word is God, the word is God, the word is God.
Amen. Amen.
And God gave us this word. He gave us him very self.
Amen.
He's not kidding around in this. He's not kidding around with this. Everything that he's giving us. And also we need to understand that we can't get anything done apart from the sanction and ordination of God. See, Jesus came once already. He died for us to give us this ability and the right, to give us this power, to delegate this power to us and activate it. So right now we're living still under the dispensation of grace. We're quickly heading up into the consummation of all things and stuff to be of the Lord. And with that being said, amen, you got to understand that right now, during this age, this grace, God gets his things done through the hands of men on earth. But these aren't just any men. We are the men that have been consummated into his kingdom. We're here to do kingdom work.
Amen.
We're here, and see, love is not selfish. It's selfless.
Mm-hmm.
See, everybody love to quote these scriptures, but you got to know what those scriptures mean, because you have to be able to walk in them. You got to be able to apply them and become the scripture. You got to be able to do the word of God. So that scripture says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that everlasting life we know to be in his Son. But we've got to understand that we have to walk in that. We have to put it on.
Amen.
It's not to look good in the spirit of the party. Amen.
Amen. See, I love a scripture church. This is the second time on your call I heard two of your members call, and they gave specifically about how they work in the body of Christ and how they want to learn more than the body of Christ. Now, ain't nothing like when you hungry, I'm telling you, God will come in with a divine appointment. And when she said that very word, and we're talking about supremacy, we're talking about authority. The Word of God, I think, is over in 2 Timothy 3:16. I think it talks about how the Word gives the inspiration. You know, how it gets divine, not just inspiration, but divine. I think the Amplified version says divine inspiration. If I can move there for a minute and just enlighten these young people and some of the things they said, because, you know, I always tell people I'm young in the ministry, too. I may have been here 20 years, but I'm still young in the ministry. I've never seen a man to know everything. And if you start to know everything, then, you know what they say, if you're the smartest one in the classroom, then you need to find a new classroom to get in. And this is some of the things we have in the body of Christ, that even when we talk about the process, Elder Carey, that when Jesus in the process of his dissertation was teaching the people, and this woman of God who they say was caught in the midst of the act of adultery, but they didn't realize and understand that when they began to pick up the rock, you know, then Jesus declared them, look, cast anyone without any sin, cast the first thing. Well, let's do the flip side to that. When we think about those in the body of Christ that feel they know a little bit more than everybody else. The Bible said you can't monopolize the kingdom of God. You can't cap the kingdom. You can't cap the Holy Spirit. So we're constantly learning from each other about the divine purpose of the Word of God. He says that they're all scriptures. He didn't say some scriptures. He said all scriptures are given for inspiration. If you understand the word of inspiration, it's divine approval and appointment that can only come through God himself. Even we go back to the first of the first segment, when you talk about them coming up out of Egypt, the only way they was going to reach the promised land is they carried through with the inspiration of superiority, knowing who was in authority and positioned them there to take the land. Divine appointment. It's not just by lip service, it's by action. James speaks about that. Even when he got into the process, the battle with him and Martin Luther, about faith, without works is dead. You can't sit at home and wait for any big man to come knock on your door. Whatever you do, you got to go out to the job. You got to work. You got to move. He said all scriptures are given by, the word he said is by the inspiration of God. When a person inspires you, you ought to be more bubbly about want to do because of what they represent. I'm inspired by you. I really want to be like you. And then not only are you inspired, it's profitable. I mean, it gains more. It's like putting money in the bank and you're getting a good. You, come on, man of God. Go ahead.
The positive in you, the scripture says that it's given by the wisdom of God and it's profitable for doctor. That means for teaching. That means for you, for you to learn and for you to pass on that knowledge.
Wow.
It says it's for reproof. In other words, for that instruction to change someone else who might be missing off the path for correction. We all need correction at one time or another, because I guarantee you, the more I learn, the more I receive from God, the more I realize I didn't know. And for instruction is righteousness. But the goal, he puts it up in verse 17, says that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped.
Look at your Amplified on that, Elder, and look how he says the process about proficiency, you know, supremacy. You know, we talk about, you know, supremacy, authority, and infinity, those words, you know. And when he said, not only this, what really gets me also, Elder, he said, outfitted.
That's right.
That's genetically engineered. You cannot fail.
That means you have all the equipment that you need to do the job that he's giving you to do.
Dominion. Everything.
Paul also addresses, and he backed this up in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter.
Amen. Yes, he does.
Verse 10 expands on it, and he says that even the words even the words used in the giving of the Bible.
Wow.
Not just man's idea or anything like that, but even the words used in the giving of the Bible were planned by the Holy Spirit of God.
Wow. And that's great.
That's right. God said he put his word above his name, man. Come on.
Now that's, I mean, just seeing what you said, he exalted his word above his name.
He don't get
the word takes dominion over his name. The
exactly.
word. When you said a little lower than the angel, that's just how much God looked at us. He said, now the angels got the power to do all things. But see, I want to tell y'all something, how much power y'all got and the dominion y'all got. He said, I just made y'all just a little bit lower. That means I positioned y'all to be just as much. Y'all can do just about as much as they can do. He didn't say all the time. I just made y'all a little bit lower. All power and supremacy has been given unto you. The Bible says, if you can speak it up out your mouth and declare it up off in your heart, you shall have whatever you should ask for.
Listen,
that's power.
That's right. Angels are divine messengers.
Amen.
But man is God's representative and supreme messenger in the earth.
Wow.
Don't you? The Paul prayed that God, he said that God seated us in heavenly places.
Ooh, Jesus.
Don't you know, we can't afford to lose sight of that or take that for granted. The word of God is quick. It's alive. It's literal.
I don't
care how many demons in hell you scientists and agnostics and anybody else to try and convince you that this is the creation of a man's imagination. It is not. Expressly the divine work of the Holy Spirit. It's put into form, it's put in a physical form for us to walk in, to become a part of us. Because we were created to be God's chosen representatives on this earth. We were created to walk in that position, to sit in that position of divine power and dominion. It ain't got nothing to do with the animals. It ain't got nothing to do with karma. It ain't got nothing to do with luck. It has everything to do with the will of God.
Wow. I mean, I don't know if they're listening to what you're saying. If y'all can get the revelation of what he's saying, towards Genesis pretty much speaks about that, about Jacob's jurisdiction and the angel's jurisdiction over in the book of Genesis, starting around that 32nd chapter. The 32nd chapter, around that 22nd verse, when he was wrestling with the angel, and they say it came down to daybreak. And in the 25th verse, he said he couldn't prevail against the angel. Why couldn't he prevail against him? Why couldn't the angel prevail against him? Because the angel was outside of his jurisdiction. Y'all got to catch what this man of God just told y'all. You've been made a little bit lower than the angel. God said, according to Genesis 1 and 2, the whole earth has been given unto you. Whenever you're out of position, you cannot prevail in that realm. The angel was outside of his jurisdiction. The earth had already been given to man. So Jacob had to write the whole angel within his own jurisdiction. That's the power that God gives you in earth. If you can speak it and believe it, God has given you total supremacy. And whatever it is on this earth, it's all yours. There's nothing that you can't.
Amen. And Pastor, check this out. In that same Genesis, it goes on to say, Jacob vowed to God.
Yeah.
The promise of God that we enjoy the fruit of the day. Jacob said,
that's right.
He made a vow to God. He said, okay, God, if you allow me to go home and walk in peace, if you clothe me, if you feed me, if you protect me, he said, then you will be my God.
Yeah, well, that's what he said.
And when Jacob vowed that vow, God went on and fulfilled his promise to him and led to the creation of the nation of Israel. And God's, again, God's spiritual Israel, which is the family of God that we are engrafted to right now. Wasn't none of us born here?
That's right. The seed.
The seed.
You understand the power
right.
and the seed in which you've been given unto you already.
None of us were born of Hebrew stock, but God loved us to engraft us.
That's right. We was grafted in. That's right.
Into the family of God. Listen,
that's right.
Also, 1 John, the Bible says that God is love. The Bible says that God is love.
That's
but
right.
then God was going to tell us that we are children of that love.
That's right. We're heirs, man. That love produces everything that comes from the kingdom. Yeah. Amen.
It ain't the feeling. It's the absolute word of truth. But the only way you're going to get there is to walk in the spirit of God's truth and to walk in the very literal word that God has given us, because he provided it for us.
Amen. Let me give this to them once again. Area code 516-387-1220. We're about maybe 15 minutes left onto the show with Elder Kerry Williams of Elder Kerry Williams Ministry out of Saginaw, Michigan. If you want to call in, you have questions concerning the word that God, his man of God, is bringing forth today, and some of the discussions is going on, you can do so. Once again, the number is 516-387-1220. When you actually get to that studio or you get into the studio, you can push the number one button and the operator will see you online and they'll light you up and you can have an answer, whatever you want to have to say to this man. We got 31. Matter of fact, just we hit it, 313, jump right on top. We got 313-790 as coming to the studio. I say this, 313-790. You're in the studio with Elder Kerry Williams.
Praise God, my brothers. Praise God. This is Reverend Rob. Coming live.
Amen.
You guys.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Just got out of a church business meeting, and I told Elder I would join in. I've been listening for the last 30 minutes, and it's been good. It's been good. It's been powerful, man. I really appreciate it, what you guys are sharing, and I'm going to go a step further with it over in Revelation. Elder Williams, do you have your Bible open?
Yes, sir.
Over in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, if you can read that, because what has happened is that it tells us who we are, and people don't know who we are in the body of Christ. We're not being taught. Are we asking people to say, well, come on, the doors of the church are open? Well, what does that mean? Well, what happens is that I think is that 6th verse say, and that he has made us kings priests unto God. And he's washed our sins with his own blood.
Amen.
And so therefore, you got to know who you are. I'm the king's king. I'm a king.
That's right.
When he says Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and kings of kings, what kings is he talking about? Is he talking about the king of England? No.
talking
about you and me.
That's right.
I'm not a servant anymore. I'm a son.
I know that's
and
real.
I'm a son of God. And not only that, I have the same DNA that he has. I have the kingship of the kingdom. And so it gives me great pleasure on a daily basis to make my priority first is to seek first the kingdom of God. I got a relationship with the king. So therefore, I have access to the resources of all resources, and that's the king of kings. And so, you know, I was listening to you, Pastor Ellison, you mentioned something about the authority and the dominion. Now, on the reverse side of that is we as believers, we allow Satan to operate illegally in our lives.
You open the door. That's right.
Satan doesn't have authority over us. He is operating illegally. In fact, you want to hear something that's going to blow your mind?
Yeah.
God cannot operate in the earth realm without a man, without a believer,
That's
that?
That's scripture. That's scripture.
God doesn't have a body. God doesn't have a body. He's a spirit. It's just like if the three of us got on the spaceship and we went to the moon, we would have to have on a what? A space suit.
That's right. Yeah. Come on, preacher.
Let's look at what Reverend Rob.
Let me read that scripture real quick.
Let him read it. Give him a little bit more power in the fifth. Give him an amplifier so he can get it good. Too many people are sitting around
God to do something.
Yeah, we're talking about it tonight.
Yeah, Reverend Rob wanted that. He said the fifth. Give it to him in an amplified version to give a little bit more clarity and power behind, because that's a very powerful scripture. I'll be Revelations 1 and 5. And look how God speaks this supremacy in this particular scripture. Did you got your amplifier there?
I don't have it in front of me right
let
now.
Let me read it to Reverend Rob in the amplified version. And let's look at it in the amplified version and see the power that God puts behind us. He said, in Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the king of the earth, to him who always loved us, who have once for all freed us or washed us from our sins by his own blood, his sacrificial death. This is powerful. It goes to the sixth verse. And formed us into kingdom, into the kingdom, as been his subjects. Now, this is amazing when he said that. We're formed to the earth as been his subjects. I think Reverend Rob just said something about that. We're put into the earth as been subject. And he don't have legal jurisdiction to come in unless we let him in. Because body, I think, is the Reverend Rob, is Amos 3 and 7, I don't bring a word into the land that's revealed through the prophet. God need a man to bring a word into the land. So we're
that's
subjects,
right.
Priests to God, fathers to who they believe, glory and power, and majesty, dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, that was powerful, what Reverend Rob just said. If y'all can catch that in the amp, it gives you a little bit more clarity about the authority, what you just said. He said a whole series right there.
He did. He really did.
Just in that.
Talking about that the other night. God has literally made us his royalty.
Amen.
On the earth. We are, as the word says, a royal priesthood, a chosen nation that we should show forth the praises of the same God that called us from darkness into his marvelous light.
Let me let Reverend Rob tap on that some more. Let me let him hit on some more. Come on, Reverend Rob. Go, let's feed him some more on that.
Amen.
We got a few minutes for you, Reverend Rob. Come on, feed him some more on that. He may have gone off the line already, but I wanted him to feed some more on it. I think he was breaking in now. It's not like his phone was breaking in. He may have been on a mobile. But as he left, he said something going off the line about the jurisdiction. He made that very clear.
Uh-huh.
God don't have the legal right unless he allows, we allow us to be open to him. To be subjects into the earth, to prove the power through him on earth that what he said he is can be manifested.
Amen.
That's wrong.
That goes all the way back to Adam.
That's right. That's
Adam
right.
created high treason against God. And God, when he sinned against God, he created a treason. And he literally gave up his right to dominion and authority, God's authority on this earth. He gave the physical authority to the devil.
Wow.
But Jesus, and that we might have it actually claiming. And that's what that scripture is talking about.
I think
that's
we got exactly. Reverend Rob back in. Reverend Rob, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes,
okay,
I am.
Yeah, come on. Finish
yeah,
up.
Yeah,
he,
you
probably
heard
a little
you.
Bit. Go ahead and finish that revelation.
Yeah.
We read it on that 1 and 5, but go ahead.
Yeah.
And finish and tap on that tomorrow.
I heard you, Elder Williams, and you're right. And see, that's the reason why the scripture says, Jesus is at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And see, he can't come in unless you let him in. And that's
the
mystery of God. You have to allow him in. And because he's always at the door. He always
that's
wants
right.
to come in.
That's
and
right.
So that's the reason why, and what I wanted to cap on is this. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, behold, I give unto you power. Now,
amen.
That's not the dynamite power. That's the exousia. That's the delegated authority.
Mm-hmm.
I give unto you power to tread on scorpions and serpents. You know what a treadmill is? It's
oh, come on,
that
man
goes
of God.
You walk on, and you
that's
tread
right.
on it. So
that's
we,
right.
we're afraid of a devil that God gave him punishment. Say from this day forward, you will walk around on your belly, on all fours.
That's right.
And you're afraid of some little weaseled up. Devil on
that's right.
Some prune.
That's right.
Stop giving him so much authority in your life. Stop giving him the credit for. I hate to hear people say this. You know, if I wouldn't have gotten that accident, I wouldn't did this or that. Don't give the devil the credit.
Don't give him anything.
Don't give him anything. You get nothing. You know, the Bible says in Exodus over 14 times, and God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Don't you know if they'd have crossed over that Red Sea, they would have been praising Pharaoh instead of praising God? And so we have to understand that the authority that we walk in,
amen.
The authority that we have, and then now we are empowered to do the work of what God wants us to do on this earth. There's no reason why with a church on every other corner in Detroit and Saginaw and Chicago,
it can't come together.
Crime should be what it is. Because we got preachers that don't have any power. So how can you empower your congregation when you don't have any power? When you don't know who you are. So you can't be mean enough
to
know who
you
are.
Amen. Yeah. You got to know who you are and who you are. Amen.
That's
you got to know who you are and who you are. You got to know
indeed.
That.
So you know, I just thank God for this opportunity to be able to share with you guys. This has been rich and very, very powerful.
Amen.
And Elder Williams of Cary Williams Ministries, I'm praying for you. And Pastor Charles, I know you're doing your thing down there.
Always.
And God bless you, my brother.
Amen.
And, you know, it's just y'all keep being lifted up in prayer as well.
Always.
And
we'll
keep each other covered. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, man of God. Be careful on your drive back to home. Make that safely, and we got you lifted up, all right?
Amen. Praise God. Yep.
Amen.
I'll stay on and listen to you to the end.
Talk. Yeah, you know when Reverend Rob said that about Exodus, and you look at the power that he gave Moses, of his old Exodus 4:17, he talks about how I'm going to make you a god to Pharaoh in everything that you speak. It is as I'm speaking, and all the different difficulties, when you really think about how he tried to make excuses why he couldn't go. When God delegates you to do something, there is no excuses.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact,
he
said, you go, and I'm going to make your brother Aaron your prophet, because you're going to do this work. He made him a god to Pharaoh. What do you think if he made him a god? What did he make you to have authority to be able to get the harvest, which is starving out here, and it's truly great. Its harvest is white. And here we are, the man of God said, we got a church in every corner, but there's something missing in the equation. We don't know what we're adding into the equation, because what it is, we're designed to come together to be as one, to be an awesome force that is unpenetratable, unstoppable in any area of the land. If you can only come up out of your own way and understand that God's got a plan that supersedes far beyond more than what we can imagine or even think. And we're so stuck in our sadidiness, and I got to say that right. We're so stuck in our high-mindedness. The bricks to the mortar, the temple, that's the position. And if you know your position on the field, then you play a position. Even as an athlete, I knew my position. I didn't worry about the other guys, whether it was collegiate, my NFL trials. I didn't worry about that. My job was to do my job. When I'm on the track, I ran my race. Win or lose, I ran my race. And I knew it was another day I was going to get up to be able to run again. So you may have beat me today, but you won't beat me tomorrow. Matter of fact, you're not going to beat me no day. It may be a good fight, and we may be throwing some scrapping, but you're not going to beat me. Because I've been designed to prosper. If he said no weapon form, he said it may form. When we think about that scripture, he said no weapon formed against me. I heard Pastor Pearson speak that word. He spoke in a service. He said he may form the weapon, but it won't prosper.
That's right.
It can't prosper.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the power that God put into Moses. And God told him to make him as a god for the people.
Wow. Yeah.
How many know that Moses left the scene? God did the exact same thing with his
Joshua
1:8. He told him,
"Yeah,
he said, I'll be strong and of a good courage." He said, told him to stay in the word, not to deviate from it, and that he would his way, something that he would have good success.
That's
he wanted to tell him, "I'll let no man be able to stand before you."
None.
We got to see that. We've got to carry that.
When
you
got
that
kind of backup power, man, how can you fail?
Listen,
when you got that kind of backup power, when you go into a gang fight, you got somebody in a gang fight with you like that. Oh, devil, come on, jump! We get a chance to beat the devil today. You know, we get a chance to beat the devil today over my finances, over my health, over my marriage, over my circumstances, over my house, over my kids. Come on up over if you want to. I got something to hold you, and that's the blood, and you can't cross it. I've been guaranteed the victory over you, as Pastor Rob just said. Reverend Rob just said, I've been given the victory over you. You can't come against me. Get your pruned up self back over what you're supposed to be in. And you got to know how to put him in his position.
Man, that was a whole series, man.
Powerful.
The Bible said, don't give place to the devil. He told us to resist He didn't say that he might flee. He said that he will
flee. That's right. That's right. You know, shun the very presence of evil, man. We got to get out of this thing, man. We got to get out of this thing.
That's right.
Once again, we want to give this information out. Once again, we got a few minutes on the air. I see a lot of callers in on the air from the Michigan area. I see some from the Pennsylvania area. I see you guys come out of Florida. Look here, 516-387-1220. If that's something God has given you, then let somebody who's, and we got over 100 listeners on the line, but we got over 55 in the studio. And I know somebody in there has got something that they have to say concerning this word on tonight. The number, once again, 516-387-1220. We got about 12 minutes left on the air. We're going to let this man of God finish it out, and we're going to push this thing through, and we're going to hear what the word of God has to say concerning with this elder here on tonight. Go ahead, Elder Kelly.
Amen, amen. Just want to follow up really quickly. I'm going back to the book of Timothy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians.
Okay.
Show you what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. As soon as I put up here, 10th chapter.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Elder.
I just want to give people one scripture right now. Those of you that might be struggling with this word, those of you that might be struggling this walk, remember, if nothing else, the words that Paul gave to the Corinthians.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 10 and 13, he said,
mm-hmm.
I'm reading from the King James, New King James Version. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, as long as we're here, we're living, we're going through this thing, we're all going to be tested, tried, and tempted. He said, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond or above what you are able, but with that same temptation will also make the way of escape.
Wow.
That you will be able to bear it.
Wow. Can I read the Amplified for you a little bit? Can I help you out on that a little bit? No temptations, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of its source. Recognize that. Of its source. We're talking about position. We're talking about position earlier today. You know your position. It's not the condition, because you've been positioned already, as the Reverend Rob said. You have been given the authority and the power. He says, no temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed. Now, we go back to James 1 on that. That's not common to human experience, nor any temptation, look what he says, unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful to his word. Wow. He is compassionate, trustworthy. He will not let you be tempted beyond what your ability to resist. But along with temptation, he has in the past and now and will always provide a way out as well. Mm-hmm. So when you will be able to endure without yielding, and will overcome temptation
Amen.
With joy. That's powerful, man of God. I mean, that's a lot. What you just read, when you look at he breaks it so thoroughly. I think Reverend Rob is still in here. I know he says he's going to get out of here, but I'm telling you, are you still in the Reverend Rob? I'm got you back in. I saw your light. You still lit up on his studio. I just want to make sure he's in and out. But yeah, that word right there, he just said that.
Yeah, that word temptation means, or translation is enticement. It can mean enticement to evil or just testing and terror in general. Now, get this, including various and different kinds of trials.
Wow.
So we understand that God applies it even in a broad sense, and we need to understand God has us insulated. He's going to allow us to be tested and tried. But, you know, we have to understand that we have no reason to despair. Even right now, in the threat of everything that's going around, we have no reason to despair, especially when we consider these two things. That, first of all, whatever you're going through is not unique.
Amen.
You're not alone. We're all going through the same diverse types of trials and situations, whether it be concerning your health, your marriage, your finances, doesn't matter what it is. Mm-hmm. And also this, that we have to understand that God has provided the way out for us out
Amen.
Of all of Satan entices us to do evil.
Amen.
But mm-hmm. we understand God permits the testing for the purpose, the very purpose of strengthening us in
wow.
our faith and in our character. While Satan may entice us for the purpose of destruction. Now, we need to understand also that God can, is, should be, and may be trusted not to allow us to be overtaken by any of these things.
Amen.
He limit that particular temptation, but he also has already given us the way of escape, and the way is found in him.
Wow. In your 14th verse, Elder Carey, he said, therefore, in the Amplified Version, I know I love the King. I read out so much because I have such a diverse community of people who I minister to.
Yeah.
In different, you know, I'm always scanning through different versions of the Bible. The Lord give me what I need to come out of. He says also in the Amplified Version, I believe it brings a little bit more clarity. He said, therefore, my beloved, run. He said, keep far away from any sort of adultery. Any
That's
sort
right.
of adultery. And that includes loving anything more than God. Now, notice how he says that.
Idolatry.
When you love something more than God, it becomes an idol. And when you know what adultery is, you're cheating on your husband, you're cheating on your wife. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. Those have a loved one, a girlfriend, or whatever it may be, your husband or wife. God said he's a jealous God. He said the reason he wants you to stay away from that very situation because it can cause you to commit adultery. And that includes loving anything more than God or participating. Notice what he said. We're talking about jobs. We're talking about even us as ministers, even us in the body of Christ. Anything participating, anything that leads to sin and enslaves the soul. That's strong what he's saying. We can't get involved with something too strong where it overtake us and we get ourselves in a position that we think we're just a little bit more elevated than what God has put us in.
Again, we're following our own understanding. You know, as a matter of fact, in that same text, verse 12, right before he gives us the admonition,
mm-hmm.
he says that, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest you fall. In other words, again, don't allow it. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you got it all together. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you can overcome it. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you can together, that you arrive.
Amen. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, we come out to the bottom of the show. We want to Elder Carey Williams speak. And give us. We don't want to drop us off. We wanted to keep us elevated in the name of Jesus. But we're coming out to the end of the show. We have not much time left. I said it for 90 minutes. I think we go a few minutes beyond, which is great. I don't mind paying a little bit more on the studio time if it's something interesting worth doing the Word of God. So we actually, you know, for our listening audience worldwide, if you're listening to us on today, we know you're in the studio. God bless you for joining with us. But we're gonna have this man of God to give us our last remarks as we go off the air, and we really appreciate you from joining us on our actual station today here at Harvest and White Church for our testimony Tuesday night. Elder Carey, it's in your hand.
Amen. Before we close out, we just want to let you know that be encouraged because God is yet in control. We said all this, say this, that God has created you to be exactly what he wants you to be. And as long as seek his face enough to make sure that you're in position, everything will be all right. Things used to sing the song, I'm feeling everything is going to be all right. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you guys for joining us on tonight.
Love, faith. of the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And all these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and joy. Till we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The dragons becoming flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple.